This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. There are 12 original Hooters brand locations in my home of the greater Tampa Bay area. Obviously, it doesn't take much of a Google search or just a search of your own memory if you are anywhere in the United States or around the world to determine where your nearest Hooters location is. Let's hear more from original Hooters.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsborough.
Of course, original Hooters. Second straight season sponsoring the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. When we got together back in August and created this year two podcast leagues out of one location, the Hillsborough and Tampa location, where Ty, 2019 Hooters calendar girl, was waiting on us and taking very good care of us. She always works the bar on Thursday nights for Thursday Night Football as well. Here are results of the podcast leagues in terms of who is in the championship games, who are in the championship games. Sorry, just trying to look at multiple things at once. In the Ira Kaufman, Joe Bucks fan league, Tommy W. and Tulio will play this coming week for the championship. According to Joe of JoeBucksFan.com, who was in the semifinals despite being ridiculed by virtually everybody. But that's what we do to Joe because he's such a good sport. But his first foray into fantasy football went pretty well. Joe, Mr. Isbitz, nice run to the fantasy semifinals. But Tulio's standouts, according to Joe, were Kenny Golladay and Joe Mixon this past week. Mixon especially, as the Bengals have stunk. And granted, they did beat the Raiders over the weekend. Mixon has been very good with the heavier volume. And now with Tyler Boyd hurt, he might get even more volume. For Tommy W., he picked up Damian Williams, didn't even play him, and it didn't cost him because Chris Carson continues to carry some high volume for the Seattle Seahawks. If you're trustworthy of Seattle running backs, which I guess I have to come around to, at various times this year I've rostered Mike Davis, but Chris Carson has been able to stay healthy in recent weeks and produce. And then Alvin Kamara from last night's Monday night game. Kamara had one rushing touchdown, just a lot of volume. Could have had an earlier rushing touchdown if not for a very, very textbook open field tackle around the 5-7 yard line by Eric Reed. That cost the Saints a touchdown early and Kamara owners. But so congrats to Tommy W. and Tulio. They'll play for the championship in the Ira Kaufman. What did we call that league? The HFFL, the Hall of Fame Fantasy League. In the league that I commission and play in personally, where I had to win 8 of my last 10 after a disastrous start to my season with the early Leonard Fournette injury. In the GOLFF, Governors, harumph, of Lavish, hope many of you understand the Lavish term, Governors of Lavish Fantasy Football, I had to win 8 of 10 just to make the postseason. And then Paul, who actually emailed me this past week at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, thanking me just for running the league and a good season. And as he moved on, he defeated me in the first round of the playoffs in a game that came down literally to the last 2 minutes plus of the back and forth between Minnesota and Seattle on week 14 Monday night. Paul then did go on. Let me pull up the league here. Paul then did go on to defeat both of the first round byes earned by our friend Mike Lentz of Papa John's and the defending champ, Robert Wright. They both went one and done and lost in the semifinals. So it is Paul and his Wreak Havoc team against the hottest team out there in fantasy football the last, for Bill, it's at least the last 2 months, if not more. I'm going to look this up because Bill's on an amazing run. He made the playoffs at 8-5. And I believe, yeah, he was at one point 1-5 was Bill. He's won his last nine. Yeah, he goes from 1-5 to the title game. Let's take a look at Bill's team. Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, his quarterbacks, wide receivers, Amari Cooper. That was a nice bump in the last month plus. Picked up Adam Humphries as an option. Michael Crabtree, Allen Robinson. Running backs, he's picked his starters wisely, obviously. Jordan Howard, Marlon Mack, Melvin Gordon, he overcame that injury. So for those of you out there saying, yeah, Melvin Gordon killed my fantasy season, I tell you, once you get injuries or the Le'Veon Bell thing or lack of productivity early, yeah, that cost you games early in the season. You got to be able to overcome that as the year goes on. And as even Robert says, the defending champion of this league, he's like, you know, trades and waivers are fun. Not many people, you know, in my foundation league, I pretty much had a draft. I drafted an outstanding team, won the Governor's Cup for most points in the regular season. And it was just sort of a set it and forget it team other than the bye weeks, other than juggling my second quarterback some weeks because we were in a two quarterback league. But anyway, what a run by Bill to make the title game by winning his last nine and playing Paul, who for much of the season was the top team in the league overall, both from what I call the national division of the GOLFF. The other division is the Augusta division. So you have the Augusta division and the national division in the GOLFF. Thank you. So good luck to Tulio and Tommy in the Ira Kaufman HFFL and in the GOLFF, Bill and Paul playing for the title this week. Good luck to those of you out there who made the championship game in your league, and this better be it. Yeah, I know there are some of you who carry things over into Week 17, and I think that is a fireable offense. I mean, it's more of a fireable offense than firing Jason Light. By the way, you know how people just bring up the Aguayo pick from the second round of 2016? You know who his two picks were in front of Aguayo? So with three picks in the first 59 of that draft, Vernon Hargraves, Noah Spence, Roberto Aguayo. Yeah, your draft is supposed to help you in 3 years win games. None of those three guys helped the Bucks win anything 3 years later. So Light's got to go, and you know what? So does your commissioner. If he didn't, if he has you playing fantasy football in Week 17, I will not be giving season-long fantasy advice for Week 17 on this podcast. I will not. I will be talking about big picture things and otherwise, because I don't want to encourage or enable. Now, daily in Week 17 is fine because you're picking a new team. You can pick the player specific in games that matter or that matter for that player specific team. But overall in season long leagues, it's one of it's one of the most ridiculous things that I've ever heard of. All right. Overall observations from recent weeks, and especially this past week, where, for example, just throwing a blanket here, Travis Kelce, a down week, Tyreek Hill, a down week, for what it's worth, Patrick Mahomes, an off week. Pro Football Talk recently said Jared Goff looks like the worst quarterback in football the last few weeks. So Goff down, which means Woods' numbers are down. Cooks' numbers are down. One of our games to avoid last place came down to Reynolds versus Cooks in Rams-Eagles, and Reynolds got more targets than Cooks did. Saints, I can tell you as a Thomas and Kamara owner, as I fell in the semifinals of my foundation playoffs this week. Kamara did have high volume, but it's been a few down games for Michael Thomas, as Drew Brees has not been able to connect with him as often. I think week 14 was a little bit better, but Michael Thomas's production has been off. Trying to think of one more, you know, sort of high octane. Anyway, the point I'm making is, I've watched PTI ever since it debuted. As a matter of fact, I used to have Reale when he was working that show before Around the Horn come on my show on ESPN. And the PTI guys were talking about this yesterday. We may be seeing the NFL change again in front of our eyes right now before we even get to the playoffs. Because for the first almost 3 months of this season, we saw these big offenses just putting up these huge numbers, and then suddenly either opposing teams are figuring out ways to slow these offenses, and or some of these guys are tired. I'm just making an observation. Some of them just might not have the jump that they had in the previous 2+ months. So, you know how I've said here on the podcast on an annual basis that, and I'm going to pull up some of the numbers to back it up again for week 15. The barring injury or holdout, obviously, I always say the first couple weeks of the regular season in fantasy, you play your draft board. If you, the first running back you drafted, as long as he's on the field, you play him the first couple of weeks. Otherwise, why'd you draft him? I mean, if there's news that merits otherwise, but if you're going to mix and match matchups the first couple of weeks, you shouldn't have drafted that guy to be your RB1 or to be your wide receiver one or to be your starting quarterback. So you play your draft board the first 2+ weeks. But when you get to the push for the playoffs or playoff time, I have always gone against the, and I think Matthew Berry has since, we've talked about how he acknowledged a couple of weeks ago. Matthew Berry said in a particular week, you can probably find a better option this week than Tom Brady and a better option this week than Aaron Rodgers. Now, some situations have changed involving those guys. Brady put up huge numbers, majority in the first half of that game that turned into a wild loss for the Patriots against the Dolphins, but he still was the number one quarterback in fantasy football that week. Then Aaron Rodgers gets Mike McCarthy gone, and now we hear he has a groin pull, which may have affected him near the end of the Bear game when the Packers were in a position to score another touchdown. I think it was a good defensive play, but Jimmy Graham could have made the grab, but Graham just isn't the player he used to be, as those of you who drafted him as your tight end one have learned this year. Week 15, here we go. Okay, so you do have to be careful where – I'll give you an example on Travis Kelce. Kelce tends to be a very, very bad matchup against the Chargers for whatever reason. And I was very tempted to sit him in a playoff game in my foundation league just because of that matchup and the high-profile nature of the game. I didn't do it. Now, okay, Kelce got, 61 yards? It was something like that. Didn't get in the end zone. In the end, I was right that the matchup was bad on Kelce. I played him. If I had pulled him, I would have probably put in Jarvis Landry, who had another down week again. It's just been an odd year for Landry. As the Browns have been legit, Landry's numbers have just been all over the place. Very frustrating for Landry owners. But the point being is, it wouldn't have been that dumb of a move for me to sit Kelce based on the matchup. I had enough information to go on that suggested Kelce is not going to produce a lot of points in this particular game. Now, the alternative wouldn't have worked out had I played Jarvis Landry, which I probably would have. I've been on and off Mike Williams all year. Now with Keenan Allen with the hit pointer, Mike Williams is a wonderful guy to have if you're in a championship week or trying to avoid a last place penalty. Guys named Williams here in the playoffs, Damian Williams, Mike Williams, heck, Jamal Williams, if Aaron Jones isn't able to go with that knee injury. Guys that just might get you over the top or get you to avoid that last place penalty. Interesting how that works. All right, but anyway, so let me – I don't know why that came up like that. I'm trying to find – oh, I know why it did that. To give you an example, for those of you that just played your biggest names because you were in the semifinals of your league or in some form of playoffs or trying to avoid playing this week for the last place game. All right, so let's go to fantasy points. So this is all week 15 inclusive. Listen for how many of these names were not, you know, the big names that, quote, got you there. All right? Mike Williams was the number one producer in standard scoring leagues, fantasy-wise. Make sure I'm on the right league. Sorry about that. Yep, I was on the right league. I had it all along. Let's see. Do it one more time. Week 15 total points. All players, fantasy points. Well, that's not right. I promise I have it now. Mike Williams was number one, 29.5. We wouldn't call him like the stud that you have to play. Derrick Henry. Now, granted, Derrick Henry had the huge week the week before. So in the Vegas term, for those of you that pressed it, you did well with that, as Derrick Henry got 29.24 in the Tennessee win against the Giants. DeAndre Hopkins, yeah, right? That's a wide receiver one all year, and he had 29. It was him and Fairbairn, basically, once Lamar Miller went out of that Saturday game against the Jets. Dalvin Cook has looked very fresh the last month, 28.3. Matt Ryan had dropped off for a month. He ends up being the number one quarterback in standard scoring leagues for week 15 with 25.04. Joe Mixon, as the Bengals drop. One of the things I'll have to reevaluate going into next season is, as the NFL is changing and we're getting more multi-down backs catching the ball out of the backfield on down and distance, who are also on the field on early downs. Maybe for fantasy purposes, you can have a good running back on a bad team. There are a lot of them out there. It's not just Saquon Barkley. Look at Joe Mixon's numbers in recent weeks as the Bengals have gone down the toilet. Marlon Mack, good luck predicting that one. Marlon Mack really is, he's kind of a Seattle running back in Indianapolis, right? He really is, because it's so hard to invest in him the same way it's been difficult to invest in any Seahawk running back since Marshawn Lynch. Although Chris Carson is trying to get us to disprove that theory. Todd Gurley did put up 24.4 and is still battling a knee injury. There's Damian Williams, cost me my semifinal. Williams and Fairbairn basically cost me in the league where I was the number one seed, cost me my semifinal game. Deshaun Watson, yeah, many of you have been playing as quarterback one. But look, here's the point I'm making. Sam Darnold put up 21.62. Fairbairn put up 22. Carson put up 20.8. Phillip Rivers, 20.5. Tevin Coleman, who Roto-World has just been destroying and has been sitting on my bench. Now, was there any way I wasn't going to play McCaffrey and I wasn't going to play Kamara on Monday night? No. But even if I had pulled them, was Coleman the right play? He put up 20.5. Doug Baldwin had two touchdowns on that bad knee, 19.7. The rookie running back in Miami, is it Balaj or Ballage? Had a 75-yard touchdown and 123 yards overall in Miami's loss to the Vikings. Wendell Smallwood got in the end zone a couple of times to score twice, even with Darren Sproles healthy and the Eagles going to Foles and thinking Josh Adams. So the point is, if you have an instinct about a player, or if you have information about a player, you don't like the matchup, it's okay to consider other options. The point I'm making to you is, all right, so let's just run down, DeAndre Hopkins was, not someone you were going to pull from your lineup. Joe Mixon was not someone you were going to pull from your lineup. Todd Gurley was not someone you were going to pull. Deshaun Watson, not someone you were going to pull. Phillip Rivers, not someone you're going to pull. But of the top, say, 25 or so players in standard scoring leagues fantasy-wise, over half of them were players that would be listed lower on most depth charts than top two running backs, top quarterback, top two wide receivers. Yeah, they would be. So it isn't just a blind draw. You don't have to do anything. So I congratulate the owners that did work waivers, that did make gutsy decisions in week 15. And it certainly looks like in many cases, it paid off. Every team is different, but I'm just giving you examples of how the biggest names on your draft board back in August or Labor Day, or all season until the last couple of weeks, if you just blindly put them in and said, well, this is what I picked them for. They've produced for me all year. I don't need to do any research. I don't even need to go to waivers. I don't need to think about anybody else. Nope. You need to play each week individually based on your gut instinct and all available information. And that is why I'm always available to you guys. Just don't email me on Sunday mornings, please. I've been telling you that. I finally got to some emails like Sunday night, and I apologized to people. And I said, look, the deadline basically to email me for Sunday and Monday for Sunday advice is before you go to bed Saturday night. If you do that, I'm going to get to it. If you wait until you wake up on Sunday, I just have too many other things to do. But I'm one of those other opinions you can use this week in fantasy football, just like every week. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com, Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. And of course, many of you listen to me on VEASAN every Thursday morning with the wonderful Gil Alexander, proof that a Cowboy fan and a Redskin fan can get along. I told him on the air the Redskins were a play. Getting 7 or better. I had them to win outright against the quitting Jacksonville Jaguars. But anyway, you can hear me with Gil roughly 10:30 a.m. Eastern time, 7:30 a.m. Pacific on Thursday for some more fantasy talk and another football conversation. And also I want to give a shout out to my pal Drew Garabo on 102.5 The Bone here in Tampa Bay. He was asking me a bunch of fantasy questions last week. It turned out it worked out for him. And again, I don't set your lineups, but please, when you reach out to me, instead of just saying Todd, A or B, no, make your case to me. Tell me why you like A over B, or tell me why you're thinking of sitting A for B in the theme of this podcast, and I'll give you another opinion. I'll talk about where you're coming from, if I agree with you, or have you thought about this? That's a lot better than just A, B, boom, and we move on. Let's have a conversation about these things. I'm more than happy to engage you in that. And I want to hear what your research is, what your thoughts are. I think that's the right way to go. Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com, Todd Wright Fantasy Football at gmail.com. You'll have a Bucks Bulletin edition of the podcast. I don't think there's a ton to like from Bucks and Cowboys other than the obvious Ezekiel Elliott and maybe Dak Prescott, more probably a two quarterback league play. than a one quarterback league play this particular week. I guess you could make the case Dak Prescott could be your I just wouldn't want I wouldn't want to start Dak Prescott in a single quarterback league. I would think you might have another better option, especially off the shutout against the Indianapolis Colts. But definitely Ezekiel Elliott, but we'll get to that in the Bucks Bulletin edition. And then I'll give you at least one, if not two more, of these podcasts looking at some matchups as we get into Saturday and Sunday. And remember, there is a game on Monday night. I love how Pro Football Talk is worried about this game, because it's basically a meaningless game between the Broncos and the Raiders. It, with the Oakland suing the Raiders, it could be the last game ever played in Oakland. It's always an interesting crowd there in Oakland. And on Christmas Eve, there's some feeling from Pro Football Talk there could be trouble at this game. And what's funny is it may determine your fantasy championship. If you have Philip Lindsay, if you plug and play Jordy Nelson or Doug Martin, Carr's been putting up some decent numbers. I don't think he's a QB1, but in a two quarterback league, you may have Derek Carr going on Monday night. I think he'd be better than Case Keenum, to be honest with you. So anyway. We'll give you a couple more podcasts as well. Let me wrap this one up. Let me thank Original Hooters, as always, for their season-long sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.